Shalom, dear Talmidim, it's Rabbi Bacon. In lieu of Sichas Musar tonight, since we've canceled classes and official public gatherings, I just wanted to share a quick audio, and people want to listen, they should by all means partake, and I hope it's meaningful to you. I don't want to share a Sichas Musar, but rather just try to give a little chizuk in light of all the news and everything that's happening on campus. Thought a little bit of chizuk would be important. I know for myself, feeling a little bit out of sorts, and I could use the chizuk, and perhaps maybe some of you could as well. And if these words give you some comfort and give you some of that chizuk, then Baruch Hashem. The Gemara in Brachos and Daf Samach Amud Aleph states the following: Tanur Rabbanon, Ma'isibel Hazakin Shababa Derech. Hillel Hazakin was once returning from a trip. V'shama Kol Tzavacha Beir. And he heard a scream come from the city that he was about to enter, his own city. Omar, and he said, Muftacha nish'ein zeh b'soch b'si, I am certain that that cry is not coming from my home. As the Pasuk says, Mishmu ra'a lo yira, a person will not be fearful of bad tidings. Nachon libo b'tach b'Hashem, a person who is firm in his heart and in his bitachon, in his faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is not fearful from bad tidings. And the Mefarshim bring down that that does not mean Hillel said nothing bad could happen to himself or his family. It didn't even mean that Hillel Zakein said it's not that tragedy can't befall someone or befall him, or that there can't be difficult times. He didn't mean that. What it meant is that with his deep faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he wasn't yare, he wasn't fearful, he wasn't scared, he wasn't panicked by the news, by the possibility of hardship, because he knew it was coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He knew it was coming from Hashem, who is the Melech HaMalchei HaMlachim, and also Avinu Malkeinu. He is our Father and our King, and He loves us. And any troubles that come, he felt it came with a sense of connection to Hashem and support from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that was able to temper, to mitigate the sense of fear, the sense of dread, if something bad were to happen. I heard a beautiful thought from Rav Moshe Elephant. He was quoting from the Sheiris Menachem. So the very same Hillel, the Hillel that we just read, Hillel Azake, from this Gemara and Brachos and Afsamach, is the same Hillel that Abalein Lutova we will celebrate at the Haggadah, at the time of the Seder, and we will celebrate Hillel's sandwich, his Korech sandwich, where Hillel instructs the people, Hillel himself would be korech, he would put together the matzah, the maror, and the pesach all in one sandwich and eat it together. And the Sheris Menachem wonders that the symbolism of the different items put in this korech sandwich are actually very different. The maror represents the trials, the tribulations, the difficulty, and the oppression that the Jews suffered at the hands of the Mitzrim. While on the other hand, The Pesach represents the joy of salvation. And Matzah has elements of both the suffering in Mitzrayim, the hands of the Mitzrim, and also the salvation, the leaving of Mitzrayim. And Hillel says, we put all these things together. How do they all go together? Says the Sheris Menachem, that what this represents is our understanding and our belief that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is the one that runs the world. And everything is guided by Hashem's hashgacha. And we recognize that everything that happens is a result of that hashgacha, both the maror of our lives, and also the matzah and the pesach of our lives. And it is that sense of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that recognition that everything comes from Hashem, is able to temper the sense of uncertainty, the sense of fear that comes with those difficult trials that people sometimes have to go through. There's a beautiful story I've heard many times from Dr. Pelkovitz. He was once sitting next to a Hasidish man, at a Chai Lifeline retreat. And this man mentioned to Dr. Pelkovitz that his son, Nebuch, his young son, was diagnosed with this terrible machla, with cancer. And just 10 days later, it was Yom Kippur. And he told Dr. Pelkovitz that Yom Kippur, he had the most unbelievable experience, and surprising. He was surprised by the experience. But he said that on that Yom Kippur, he was pouring out to his heart to Hashem. just 10 days after he heard the terrible news that no one should hear about their child. And he's pouring out his heart to Hashem, and he said a wave of happiness just came over him at that moment in the middle of Yom Kippur. And Dr. Pelfer said, what was that about? And the man explained, he said, yes, there was terrible news. And yes, there was difficulties that we were facing as a family, he said. But at that moment, tzaving to Hashem, feeling the Kedushas Hayom, feeling a sense of closeness and connectedness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, knowing that he was surrounded by mispalalim that were there to support him and were davening for the Yeshua that his son needed, he just felt that sense of warmth and that sense of support and that sense of connectedness. And it actually gave him happiness at that difficult moment. Not that the difficulty goes away. Again, not that Hillel HaZaken was saying we don't realize, that he didn't realize bad things could happen. But what this chassid was saying is that he felt a sense of happiness because he knew it was coming from Hashem and because he felt connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the time. Rav Rand actually brings down in one of his farim, he's quoting from Moshe Eisenman, that's pshat in Iyov. Iyov lived through tremendous tragedy. He's a man that went from having everything to having nothing and suffering terribly, both emotionally and physically. And the friends come and try to comfort Iyov in different ways, and none of it works. At the end of the Sefer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'chlodum Atzmo reveals himself to Iyov and gives Iyov a nevuah straight from Hashem. And that somehow is the resolution to Iyov's problems, to Iyov's consternation. And explains Rav Moshe Eisenman that the pshat is that intellectually, there were no answers for Iyov. Logically, things didn't add up. It didn't make sense to him. And he had an answer back to every friend that tried to comfort him. But having the experience of HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveal himself to Iyov and feeling that connection to Hashem, that made everything okay. The questions were still questions. The problems were still problems. But Iyov felt the experience of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his life. And that was the resolution of the difficulties. The resolution was the experience of Hashem, feeling Hashem in our lives. The Gemara Makos Dav Chav Dalet says, this is our Nisayon. This is what we need to work on. We need to dig deep. Right, the Gemara there explains, Rav Simloy has his famous drasha that there are Taryag Mitzvos, 613 Mitzvos, but Ba Chabakuk V'Midon Lachas. Chabakuk came along and he boiled down everything. All of our Avodas Hashem hinges on the Tzadik B'Emunos HaYichya. A Tzadik has to find that sense of Emuna, that sense of connection to Hashem, that sense that everything comes as a result of Ashgachas Hashem. The Medrash Rabbah says, Bereishis Rabban Parshas Vayechid, Yishuascha Kivisi Hashem, when Yaakov was blessing the children. So Yaakov exclaimed, Yishuascha Kivisi Hashem, and on that line, the Medrash says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Kachol B'Kivui. Everything is in hope with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yisurim B'Kivui, trials and tribulations, suffering comes with hope in Hashem. Kedushas Hashem B'Kivui, hope is also connected to Kedushas Hashem, glorifying Hashem's name. Zuchus Afos B'Kivui, Tavaso Shal Olam Haba B'Kivui. Everything has to come with a sense of hope and trust in Hashem. The Pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Kof Lamites, Pasuk Yud Bey says, Gam Choshech Lo Yachshich Mimecha. Right? Gam Choshech, even darkness, Lo Yachshich Mimecha, will not be our darkness from you. What exactly does that mean? And the Chidush HaRim comments, Im ani yodea shezeh mimcha, if I know that the darkness is coming from you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as gam choshech lo yachshech li, then even the darkness is not so dark for me. Even the darkness is not so dark for me. And that's the avoda. The avoda is to have a sense of emunah, to strengthen our sense of emunah. And as we said before from Iyov, not just to have the intellectual emunah, but try to feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives. Try to experience Hashem's presence. To really contemplate and to integrate into our being that Hashem is our Melech Malchei Amlochim and our Vinu Shebashamayim, and that He's there taking care of us and He's there guiding all these events. And although we may not understand them, but at least emotionally, if we can feel supported from Hashem, then that will do so much to allaying some of our fears and calming some of our rattled nerves. How do we try to take the intellectual experience of having emunah and bringing it to a little bit more emotional, a little bit one that's felt? And perhaps, in addition to just thinking about it, we can also work on two other nekudos. And that is, number one, no surprise, our tefillah, our koach ha-tefillah, to really, really invest in our tefillah at this time is something a Jew does at a time of trouble and time of crisis. Rabbeinu Yona writes, and this is on the Gemara in Brachos, the Gemara says, Ezu ben olam haba, who is a person that will be zochet olam haba, ze asomech ge'ula shal arvis l'tefillah shal arvis. This is a person who somech ge'ula l'tefillah, someone who takes ge'ula, a recognition, an expression of ge'ula, of Hashem's redemption, and immediately connects that to tefillah t'shmona esrei. And Rabbeinu Yona asks, why? Because a person can so easily just say partials of Geula, right? And then daven afterwards, so then they should be Ben Alahaba. It so seems so simple and so perhaps, you know, superficial. And Rabbeinu Yona says, no, the emes is, it's very, very deep. And Rabbeinu Yona explains that because when a person reminds himself the partials of Geula, where we daven and we say the Shema, and we say the Birchos Kriya Shema, which extols all the virtues of Hashem saving Klal Yisrael and punishing our enemies, at that moment we tap into our sense of bitachon, and we nimsa shigam hu boteach bo shiyana osa, and we take that experience of bitachon Hashem and immediately channel that into davening to Hashem, because we understand that Hashem, you are the one that can answer our prayers. You are the one that can help us. And when we tap into that sense of bitachon and immediately take that bitachon and channel that into davening to Hashem, it's a recognition of our emunah. It's a recognition of the yesod that we believe so deeply, that Hashem is guiding everything, and Ein lanu amilisha ein ela avinu shebashamayim, and we rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And of course, we're ben olam haba. Now we're ben olam haba because we happen to be so mechulah tefillah, but because when we so mechulah tefillah, it embodies everything who we are, everything we believe in, and so therefore, tefillah is an outgrowth of times of difficulty. Tefillah is our tool and our way of showing that we are boteach b'Hashem, and it helps us to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a very tangible and natural way. So tefillah is something we need to really immerse ourselves in. There's a beautiful story about a Nebuch Mishpacha, a family in Eretz Yisrael, whose young son, 5-year-old boy, became suddenly ill, and doctors couldn't figure out what the source of the illness was. And the child was languishing, he was getting weaker and weaker and more pale by the day. And this father ran around from doctor to doctor while the mother was trying to take care of the other children, trying to find someone who could help them out. And they connected with every Bikur Cholim and every organization. And finally, after a couple of weeks, a call comes in from one of the organizations that said, we found a doctor, an expert. We believe, we described to him the symptoms, and we believe he's the one that may be able to help you out. But you have to rush. He's situated in Bnei Brak, and he's about to leave to the airport to get on a plane back to America. You must run there and try to find him right away. And they gave the man the address, and the man said, but it's impossible. For me to get to Bnei Brak will take 45 minutes, and that's too long. The people told him he's leaving in a half an hour. How is he going to make it to Bnei Brak in time? He jumps into a cab with his son, and he pays the cab driver an exorbitant amount of money, and he says, you got to get me to Bnei Brak in a half an hour. It's a matter of life and death. And the cab driver is driving like a madman, weaving in between traffic and speeding as fast as he can go. But yet, as things would have it, it still took, you know, a good 40 minutes for him to get to Bnei Brak. And he grabs his child and he dashes up the flights of stairs to get to this house where this doctor was supposedly staying. And he knocks on the door, and the man answers the door. And he says, I'm here to meet with the doctor. And the man said, I'm so, so sorry, but he left just 5 minutes ago. He was waiting. He was waiting for someone to show up, and he couldn't wait any longer, and he left just 5 minutes ago. And at that point, the father just totally defeated, just collapses. Total yayush. he tried so hard, he put so much energy and hope in this possible Yeshua for his son, and at the moment he was just crushed. And this person who answered the door takes, you know, the man and his son into the house and puts him on the couch and tries to comfort him. There's not so much he can say, right? And he offers the man, he says, maybe I can get you just a glass of cold water and just revive your spirits and revive you a little bit. So he brings him a water, and the father takes the water, and he starts to enunciate the bracha. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech olam shahakol nihye bidvaro. And it hit him at that moment. He just said, shahakol nihye bidvaro. Everything, absolutely everything is a result of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, comes about from Hashem. Is Hashem guiding everything? And it hit him. While he was running around looking for doctors, of course he was davening, and of course he had faith in Hashem. But ultimately, deep down, he'd put so much effort and stake and belief in the doctor was going to help him. And this last opportunity, this doctor where he got this breakthrough, this doctor is the one that could help him. He really deep down inside was putting all his kochos into the doctor, into the medical Yeshua. And his tefillah and his sense of Emunah Hashem was a little bit sidelined. And as he said, Shakon Yebidvaro, it hit him that everything is a result of Hashem, and it's not hopeless. It's not hopeless. Of course, he has a Kadosh Baruch Hu in his life. And while he was going to continue to search for doctors, and he did search for doctors, and he believed that he has to find the natural means, the shaliach, the person who's going to help his son out, but a sense of calmness washed over him. Right? He wasn't panicked anymore. He was going to do his ishtadlus, but he was going to have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, Baruch Hashem, that particular story had a good ending, and eventually they did get connected to another doctor, and the son did recover. But the point of the story is what we've been discussing until now. It's the same point as the chassid. It's the same point of Hillel HaZaken. It's what we're trying to say about davening, is that we have to remember Shakon Yebidvara. When we make these brachos, when we daven to Hashem, it's real. We're really standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're really connecting to Hashem. Hashem is really in our life. And everything is a result of Hashem. And when we can daven and daven seriously, so then we can be certain that at some level, these tefillos make a difference. At some level, Hashem is listening. So one thing is to increase our kavana and to increase our davening. The other thing I'd like to point at is our learning, to really immerse ourselves in our learning at this time. Rav Huttner likes to explain how we have two different types of constructions in the Torah. There's the Mishkan, and then there's a Teva. And a Mishkan is when you have a Klal Yisrael that's on a super high, they're feeling elevated spiritually, and they need a place to channel all of their energy and ruchnius and avoda and Hashem. And so they build a Mishkan as that makom where they can all centralize their avoda to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a Mishkan. A teva is a very different model. A teva is a structure that helps a person block themselves from the turbulence of the outside confines of that teva. And sometimes we need to tap into that sense of Torah and yeshiva, that it is a teva, it's a safe haven for us, that we immerse ourselves in the Torah Kedosha, and that allows us for those moments that we're immersed to be in that little bubble, to be in that teva where we feel our learning, we're doing something meaningful, we're doing something of tremendous value, we're having Hashem whisper in our ears at that moment as we're learning. And that is the sense of teva that we can get when we learn. Learning is something that can bring us to joy. The Mishnah in Avos says, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Havishaka Lilmoto Ravdama Teshtoshiv Lapikoris. And then the Mishnah says, Vda Lefnimiyata Omer. We have to be cognizant of in front of whom we are toiling. And on that, the Rabbeinu Yonah makes the comment that Omer in front of Hashem is Mamish Simcha. Is Mamish Simcha. Hine Lechaki Akadosh Baruch Hu Mishashea Ba. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, you should know that Hashem is delighting in the Torah. V'yeshel chalasos kein, and just like Hashem delights in the Torah, we have to delight in the Torah. And v'hu shenemar, and that is as the pasuk says in Mishlei, machsachta betevel arzo v'she'asha'ayis b'nei adam. Just like the Torah is a sha'ashuim, it is a delight. It is a joy for Hashem. It's something that He plays with because it brings so much elevation and joy to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kol Yitzirat HaOlam, and that's before the world was created. Hashem had the Torah before the world was created. Kach Tiyom Esachekes V'Tevel Achash Nivra'olam. So too Hashem delights and plays with the Torah after the world was created. And therefore, V'Sha'ashum L'Vnei Adam, it is also a delight for people. And it is incumbent upon us to follow in Hashem's model, to have that same Sha'ashum that Hashem delights in. We delight in the Torah as well. The Torah for us is really... It is a safe haven for us. It is an anchor for us. David HaMelech says, "Lulei soras ha-sha'ashua, oz avadti b'ani." Right? If it weren't for the Torah that is my sha'ashuai, I would be lost in my troubles. The Torah can give us such a warm feeling if we just throw ourselves into it. You know, the story is told of Rav Shach. Rav Shach was a young man during World War I, and he was learning in Slobodka at the time. And when the war broke out, so the Talmidim had to disperse, the war was advancing, and it was very dangerous, and people went different ways. And Rav Shach wandered from town to town, just finding a place where he could himself immerse in his Torah. And it is said that Rav Shach commented that there was a two-year period where he was literally on his own in an attic of a shul, and all he had with him was a Yavamos and a Rav Kiva Eger. And for 2 years, he learned Yavamos and Rabbi Kiva Eger backwards and forwards, front, back, the whole thing. He knew it ba'al peh. And he was sustained literally by just a kind woman would drop off a little bit of water, a little bread. And that's how he lived for 2 years. And he commented later on his life that he looks back and reminisces over those 2 years of being years of such tremendous growth and somewhat of a happiness. Yes, it was a crazy time. He was living on nothing, surrounded by an advancing war, and bombs were falling. But yet, he had his Torah. Lulei soras ha-sha'ashuai oz avadti b'ani. When he engaged in that Torah in a very meaningful and a very deep way, so that was his delight, and that gave him strength, and that gave him hope. L'shuascha kivisi Hashem. That gave him hope, being able to engross himself in the Torah in that way. And when we can do that, when we can create those little bubbles and really just block out for a few moments, not to bury our heads in the sand, chalila, but to block out for those moments that we're engaged in Torah study, to carve out some time, that gives us strength and that gives us courage. Finally, I'd like to say, obviously we need to keep up with all the recommendations. Again, I'm not saying anyone bury their heads in the sand. We need to keep up with the recommendations and to do what we are told to do to keep ourselves safe. But these are just certain ways that I think we can connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and that we can give ourselves strength and we can kind of mitigate a little bit the sense of a fear, the uncertainty, the anxiety that sometimes that creates. I'd like to just leave off with one last thought. And that is in these times where we deal with things that cause us a sense of foreboding sometimes, or a little bit of uncertainty. So it's important to increase our acts of chesed, to look out for each other, and to help each other, whether that means physically, whether that means emotionally, even if we're not next to each other directly, but we can still support each other with kind words, with calling each other, checking in with each other, davening for each other. There's so much we can do to support our fellow Yid, and that is often a catalyst for salvation from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'll leave off this last idea. It says in Shmos, in Parsha Shmos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu that, you have a mission to do, and you're going to go down to Mitzrayim, and you're going to save the Jewish people. And part of that process of saving the Jewish people, I want you, Moshe Rabbeinu, to make sure, V'sha'Allah Isha Mishchenta, U'migaras Beisa, Klei Chesev V'Klei Zahav Smalos. I want you to ask the Jewish people to make sure that they borrow, it says, Isha Mishchenta, a woman from her neighbor. Right, a woman from her neighbor to borrow items, chesev, smalos, garments, to borrow from them things. We know that this was a promise that he made to Avram Avinu that we shouldn't leave, empty-handed. But the phraseology in the pasuk is worth noting. It says in the first time in Shmos, Perek Gimel Pasuk Chav Beis V'Shal Isha Mishchenta, as opposed to later on in Parshas Bo, where the Torah again talks about Bnei Yisrael borrowing or taking things from the Mitzrim. It says there in Perek Yirav Pasuk Beis, Dabir no bosnia am, vishalu ish me'es re'eyu visha me'es ru'sa. There it says one person should borrow from their re'ehu, from their friend, from their beloved, visha me'es ru'sa. That's different from a shachin. So some of the Mefarshim, the Malbim and others, they explain that in Parshas Bo was something else entirely. That, who's a re'ehu? Who's a beloved? Those are not the Mitzrim. You could have a shachin that's a Mitzri, but your beloved is not a Mitzri. That's talking about your fellow Jew. And Hashem was saying, we want people to borrow and to lend one to another. People should try to take care of each other, see what another person's needs are, and give it to them, because that's a catalyst for redemption. That's a catalyst for Yetzias Mitzrayim. When we bind together as a nation, when we take care of each other, when we worry about each other, when we daven for each other, that's a catalyst for Yeshua. So, Mirtz Hashem, these trying times will pass without too much more tzara. And that in Mirtz Hashem, we should be davening for everyone should be okay. For those who are sick, they should, Mirtz Hashem, recover. And for those who are not sick, should be protected from it. And that this, the tekufa, we should make it through, strengthening our munah, stronger in our beliefs, and feeling more solid and more together as a community, as a tzibur, as a yeshiva. And through this, we will see hopefully, ultimately, the ultimate Yeshuos, Mashiach Tzikeinu b'mhir v'yameinu. Amen.